Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead in the great state of Kansas as the redistricting map has been approved, and it appears there is a pathway for a clean Republican sweep in congressional districts in the midterm elections coming up in November of 2022. That's where we begin on this episode of KKHI. Great to have you with us, and another win. Common theme of this podcast the last several months is winning, 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 and the state of Kansas is the latest to win with conservative values, a supermajority in the House and the Senate, and a likely Republican governor on the way. It was quite a shock to many conservatives and Republicans who don't follow it as closely as people in the business of politics over the last few weeks to find out that the Supreme Court of the state of Kansas actually has more justices on it that were appointed by Democrats than by Republicans. That was certainly a surprise to me. So the story is kind of short and sweet. We won't get into the legal details, but it is a tasty, lovely, winning story in Kansas that the district that in which I reside and many Kansas Cityans reside is District 3 on the Kansas side of the state line, which has largely been Wyandotte County and Johnson County and has increasingly switched blue over the last few years as parts of old Johnson County, Prairie Village, Westwood, Fairway, Mission Hills, Mission, where I grew up, Roland Park, some of those places have had people like my mom sell their house in Mission. And when it gets sold almost every time to someone in their 20s. These are very affordable houses, or were very affordable houses. Sometimes they're young families, sometimes they're individuals. They like living close to the plaza, they like living close to Westport, but they like the idea of owning their own home and not renting an apartment in Westport or on the plaza. And so they're very, very close, and parts of Johnson County have just filled up with young people that are coming in and buying their first home that are largely liberal. They are college educated. They have been indoctrinated with many of the things that we talk about as themes on this podcast, and are newly out of college and in their 20s and buying their first home with maybe as little as $10,000 or $15,000 down on their home. And they get in there and they're taking over these precincts, and it is changing Johnson County. We know what Wyandotte County is and has been. And so in Kansas, as by law, every 10 years, you must redistrict, and a certain number of people is the maximum in any district. Because Johnson County has grown, because Wyandotte County has grown, there were too many people in District 3. Everything I'm telling you is perfectly legal and has to be done. It's required by law. Census comes out. We see how many people live in District 3. There are too many people. Now, I may have this number wrong. I'm guessing because I'm remembering this from months ago when we described the process. I think they needed to cut out something like at least 40,000 people out of District 3. It needed to shrink by at least 40,000 people. It may have been more than that, but it was tens of thousands of people had to be cut out of this district. This district had to shrink in population. So the job in Topeka, by the majority, well, really by all of them, is to redistrict. And that's why we don't have neat little things where Kansas is divided in four perfect squares and here's your districts, because it's by population. It's not by county lines. It's not by the river. It's not by some landmark. They can be jagged, they can be strange. But essentially what happened was, they said in Topeka, we've got a problem in District 3. If we lop off part of the northern part, this is very simple. If we lop off part of the northern part of District 3, which is northern Wyandotte County, and put that over with the other district that becomes Topeka and you know, some of these others, and add to the southern part, which is below Johnson County, which would then add the counties that include Anderson, Franklin, and Miami counties, not all of them, not complete counties of those three, but pieces of those three counties. We will add people to the south where it's not as populated. We will take away people to the north where it is more populated, and we will get below the threshold number of people in this district. It isn't even that convoluted. Now, did they know exactly what they were doing? Were the majorities in Kansas cutting off liberal votes to the north and adding conservative votes to the south? to get Sharice Davids out of office? Of course they were. It's the law. We're a republic. We elect people at a local level. We send them to the state. They represent us, and they have control to do this. Everything they did, every single step of the way, was legal. But that gave us no confidence and no faith that this would be upheld. So a liberal judge in KCK says, oh, this is bad, and he strikes it down. A liberal judge. There was only one crooked thing done in this entire deal. There was only one wrong event that took place in any of this process, and that was the crooked judge saying, this is not right, this is illegal, this is gerrymandering, and it needs to go to the Kansas Supreme Court. So Derek Schmidt, the attorney general in Kansas, says, we're going to the Kansas Supreme Court. We're taking our map with us. We're not rewriting. Missouri went and rewrote and said, oh, screw it. Missouri just gave up. Missouri just quit and said, okay, we're not going to fight this fight. In Kansas, they said, we're going to fight it. We're going to the Kansas Supreme Court. And we all learned, I learned, you learned, we learned, the Kansas Supreme Court has more members on it appointed by Democrats than Republicans. And we all thought, uh-oh. And we're sitting here, and I feel like we had this giant win, and we shouldn't feel like this is a giant win, because guess what happened in the state of Kansas? Even the justices on the Supreme Court that were appointed, nominated, approved, and appointed by Democrats said, well, you know, they followed the law in every step of the way. They didn't break any laws here. This is what the Constitution of the state of Kansas says. This is what the people of Kansas vote for and have representatives for. They followed every law, every step of the way, and they approved it. This is legal. That is the Supreme Court's job. It's the same thing that's happening with the United States Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade. The question is it legal or is it a states' rights issue? The Supreme Court of the United States is clearly kicking it back to the states, saying abortion is a states' rights issue. That's correct by the law, by the Constitution. That's correct. And it is to the Democrats. We're going to see this over and over and over. This is two cases now in a few weeks. We have one in the United States and one in the state of Kansas. But in the state of Kansas, the Democrats, this redistricting all over the country has been a disaster for Democrats. The maps being redrawn in all these states has been a train wreck. And they've all been holding out nationwide saying, but we're doing well in Missouri and Kansas. We're doing great in Missouri and Kansas, where they were going to hold their positions. Missouri caved. They gave up. They said, screw it, because Emanuel Cleaver's seat is just sitting there. They could do the same thing in Missouri. They could move north with that district off the northern part and move it into the state of Missouri. They could lop off parts of the Kansas City metro area, move it into another district, and win it all and be 7-1 instead of 6-2 in the state of Missouri. But they haven't done that. They haven't done that. Or 5-1, it is six districts. So they haven't done that. They caved. They said, screw it, we're not dealing with this now. And so there we go, Missouri did it. In Kansas, they fought it. They win. The Kansas Supreme Court upholds the law and goes against the grain of the wacko liberal judge that ran this thing up the court and basically got it to the Kansas Supreme Court. And now District 3 in Kansas has been redone. And it will now involve parts of Anderson, Franklin, and Miami counties, and a portion of Wyandotte County has been lopped off and sent west with Topeka. And this is what our republic is. This is why we elect our officials. This is why local elections matter. This is why it's so important to know who your state representative is and why you must vote conservative with your state representatives. This is why it is so important. We all think of the president and Senate in these big races, and we get inundated with information on a national level. This is how you win in America. You win at the local level. You win your local elections. Your state gets run by the majority, and there is no question. This isn't even close. Kansas and Missouri are conservative. The states are red. They are solidly red. They should be run as conservative states. And we have that in the state of Kansas. Amanda Atkins will be the Republican running against Sharice Davids for this congressional seat. Amanda Atkins is okay. I'll have her on the podcast. I'm going to vote for her. I wish there was a Trump conservative running in District 3. I wish she was being primaried. I wish somebody was up against her. She'll be okay. She is part of the machine in the state of Kansas. They anointed her 2 years ago to fall on the sword. She lost by 10 points 2 years ago to Sherrese Davids. Amanda Atkins is okay. She was former chair of the Kansas Republican Party. She's, if there's a swamp in Kansas, if there's a conservative swamp in Kansas, nobody's more of a swamp creature than Amanda Atkins. Okay, this is not some person that was inspired by Trump a couple of years ago to say, you know what, I'm selling my business, I'm going to run for Congress, and I'm going to be a ball beater, man, a ball buster. I'm going to go to Congress. I'm not going to kowtow to anyone. I'm not going to worry about the lobbyists. I'm not going to be part of a political machine. I'm not going to do what all the consultants tell me to do. I'm going to represent the people. That's not her, okay? She's tied to all the money in the state of Kansas with the Republican Party. She's tied to every swamp creature there is. You couldn't be more in the weeds with these people than Amanda Atkins. We're not going to have much choice. She's going to be the person to vote for. We're going to vote for her. That's fine. I like Amanda Atkins. She's a nice person. I'm not bad-mouthing her, but she's just like a career politics person. We will gladly take that over Sherrese Davids. This isn't close. Sherrese Davids is, ultimately what Sherrese Davids is part of the squad, but doesn't say she's part of the squad. She is. She's right in there with AOC and all of them. She couldn't be worse. She couldn't. She just doesn't tell you she's that. She just doesn't make that noise. She tried to appear to be somebody she is not. She certainly hasn't voted that way. And she's not reflective of the people of the state of Kansas. That's for certain. So Amanda Atkins will be 25,000 times better than Sherrese Davids, but she released a statement saying, "The map released today is evidence that our democratic process works. I welcome the people of Anderson, Franklin, and Southern Miami counties to Kansas District 3, and I'm excited to get to work for the new district, a thriving community of urban, suburban, and rural areas." And that's exactly right. It is a great cross-section of Kansans. District 3 now represents an urban area, suburban areas, and rural districts. You couldn't have... on the left, they're screaming, oh, they're getting rid of diversity. The only thing the left thinks is diverse is the city. They think inner cities are diverse, and that's because they're only looking at skin color. They're all looking at the diversity. They don't like diversity. They don't like diversity in Kansas, in District 3. They don't want any diversity. Look what they've done to Wyandotte County, lopping off part of it and sending it to another district. What they've actually done with these districts is make the districts more diverse. The Kansas 3rd now has rural farmers in it. That's also diversity to our friends on the left in the media. It is diversity to have parts of inner city, Kansas City, Kansas, and farmers 30 miles away in the same district. That is the definition of diversity in a district. And they've accomplished it with the new map. I love winning. I love seeing this. This is a huge story. It's not a 100% slam dunk Amanda Atkins win because she's not a fantastic, great candidate. She does not negative campaign. She does not go after Sherrese Davids. She doesn't do a lot of those necessary things. They've been playing the long game. She took her 10-point beating 2 years ago. She didn't attack Atkins. She's running in the middle. She's trying to appeal to the soccer moms in Johnson County and saying, I'll be there for you. I'm a little of this. I'm a little of that. And they were playing the long game, waiting to redistrict the map, and just assuming that she would win now. That all of the people like us that are conservative have no choice but to vote for her, even though she won't go after the hard left, Sherrese Davids. She won't. She's going to play nice. Their strategy here, because this is the swamp. These are the, I can't call them rhinos because there's a lot of people involved in the Kansas swamp that are tried and true conservatives. There are. But where all the money is, all the power brokers, everything, they're pragmatists. They like putting up people and saying, look, let's play the long game. We'll redistrict this thing. It'll be an off-year election. You'll go in there and you'll win. That's what they like to do. Kevin Yoder was not a particularly conservative congressman in this district. But he won multiple terms, and we were happy to have him. And this will certainly be better than Sherrese Davids. But that's really our option, and maybe that's what the Kansas 3rd is. Maybe it's just a district where we have to say we need somebody that's kind of a rhino-like, not a, that if Kevin Keatsman ran, you know, I wouldn't get elected. Maybe you can't run on the right and be conservative and go be Trumpian and win this district. Maybe that's the truth. they may know what they're doing. If this works in November, I'll celebrate it, and I'll be happy with it, and I will support Amanda Atkins in every possible way that I can. But a big win for the Kansas third. Much better than the state of Pennsylvania, which now is, which is what? Doing what Pennsylvania does whenever there's an election? We have the Senate race between Dr. Mehmet Oz and David McCormick, who's a like a hedge fund manager or something, right? But was also a war veteran, a decorated war service member. Are you ready for this? The election was Tuesday. They're waiting on thousands of votes in Allegheny County that aren't in. And there are votes coming in from 57 different counties in Pennsylvania. These are mail-in votes and absentee ballots. Here we go again. In the early voting, the mail-in voting, David McCormick won big. Mehmet Oz, right now, Mehmet Oz and David McCormick both honestly believe, they're not just saying it, they honestly believe they're going to win. Now, Mehmet Oz has a 1,200-vote lead. I think David McCormick has the best argument as to why he's going to win. There are thousands and thousands of ballots still out there. There's military ballots coming in. There's mail-ins. There's absentees. There's all these counties that have not... There could be 57 counties left. There could be 20 ballots left uncounted in a county. There could be 200 left in a county. We don't know how those are going to play out. We don't know. We simply don't know. What we do know is Pennsylvania is a train wreck. Pennsylvania is a train wreck. One report says there could be as many as 100,000 more votes coming in. Well, if there's 100,000 mail-in votes coming in, McCormick has won those so far by 10 to 12 points. He's going to win this thing. And so he's out there saying, we're confident we've won. We're going to sit here and wait for a few days, and when they're all counted, we will win. Look, nobody likes this. These are two Republicans, two conservatives. Mehmet Oz is probably more conservative than McCormick. McCormick's got some ties to some things that aren't great, some Chinese ties, things like that. But he's a decorated service member. I think he won the Bronze Star. If more military ballots are coming in, he could win those by 20% over Mehmet Oz. I mean, I'm not going to predict what's going to happen here. Either one of these guys can win. It's not over. What I know, and we don't care about Pennsylvania. Okay, we want whoever wins this to just go on and beat the guy that had the stroke and the pacemaker that's laying in a hospital that they're going to run against. We just want them to beat that guy. And I think that will happen. The point is, here we are 2 years later, and what's been cleaned up? Not much. And nobody else, I feel like nobody in the world is talking about this except me. The big problem here is voter confidence in the elections. The big problem is both parties now believe the elections are unfair and rigged. Both sides. We heard the Democrats bring this up first. Russia, Trump collusion, impeachment, all this stuff. Then we saw what happened overnight in the subsequent days in Pennsylvania where Trump had what? A 600,000 vote lead at 8 o'clock at night. And they said, we're closing the polls. We're shutting it down. We're going home. We're going to start counting again tomorrow. And then lo and behold, as the next 24 hours unfold, they found 700,000 votes for Joe Biden. 700,000 vote gain proportion for Joe Biden, which is just impossible. We don't like it. They say, oh, we're counting some of the ballots that came in late. We're counting the mail-ins. We're counting the drop boxes. We're counting all this other stuff. Here's what we need to do. This is really simple. Each state, if you want to do a voter law, needs to say, we can have advance voting. These votes will stand. Every vote must be received by, again, this is really simple stuff, 5 o'clock on Monday before the Tuesday live election. We're going to do live elections from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday. If you can't make it on that Tuesday or any day before that, we do live voting several days out. I got no problem with that. We do a week of live voting, 10 days of live voting. If you cannot vote in person, if you cannot, your deadline for your vote's arrival is 5 p.m. on Monday, close of business. Then we count every single vote that's come in early, all night long, whatever, and we can release that instantly at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. And here it is. This is the final early vote count It's over at 7 p.m. The first thing you were, in fact, screw that. We're going to release these at 6:45. Before the live vote closes, 15 minutes early, in any state that wants to do this, we're going to release the early vote count. And here it is. This is the final early vote count, 6:45. Boom. And it would say, in this case, Mehmet Oz, 80,000 votes, David McCormick, 90,000 votes. Perfect. There it is. We have that. That's done. That's gone. Now all we have is live returns as they come in when the polls close at 7 o'clock. Then we can go on and have normal election nights. I don't understand this. Election day, polls close. We watch 95% of the vote is in. Then it goes down and says, oh, only 92% of the vote is in, because that is just a projection on how many votes they thought were coming in. And now we learn 2 days later in Pennsylvania, 57 counties in Pennsylvania are still sending in votes. What are we doing? This is absurd. And if we want to do that, then this isn't, Tuesday is an election day. We shouldn't be releasing any, it seems to me that anybody could put their vote in still. What's the big deal about the polls closing at 7 o'clock on Tuesday? The answer? Nothing. Because apparently if you wanted to get your vote in, you could still drop it somewhere and get it in. Don't tell me you can't, because you could. There's all kinds of fraud in these things. You could get a vote in right now, it sounds like. They're going to keep going. Most of these places keep going until what? Friday? This is the dumbest part of our system. Close all the early stuff. And listen, if Monday, 5 o'clock is weird or not right, make it the previous Friday. You still have live voting. If you want your vote to count and you can't make it in one of 10 days to go physically to a poll and vote, if you can't do that, we will put a mechanism in place where your vote has to be in well in advance of Tuesday. It has to be in. Friday at 5 or Monday at 5. I don't care which. That's it. Closed. We got state sheriffs, police. We got people watching this stuff. Election integrity everywhere. It is over. Lock the doors. This is it. This room is closed. Somebody get the camera rolling. Certify this. These votes are it. Anything else that comes in is going right into the trash bin. We're done. And then you give these vote counters a deadline to turn that number in. And if it's 5 o'clock on Friday or 5 o'clock on Monday, you count them up and you say, get everything counted that came in today, because theoretically you would have been counting each day prior. And you say you have until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to tell us what the number is, or noon the next day. I don't care. Noon the next day. Give us the number. And it's 6:45 on Tuesday night. We're releasing that number. You can't do this. People don't believe in these elections. What's going on in Pennsylvania now, neither one of these candidates, the loser of this race, is going to feel ripped off. I don't care what anybody says. The loser is, and the people that voted for the loser are going to feel like they got cheated. And this is in one party. Now what does that do to your party when people go vote in November? What if you voted for Mehmet Oz and you feel like David McCormick is stealing this thing with the machine in Allegheny County, or the 57 counties still reporting, or the military vote coming in, and McCormick, let's say he wins it. Let's say he wins it, and we learn, you know, on Friday that he wins this thing, and you voted for Mehmet Oz. Now what do you do in November? Maybe you're really mad because you think McCormick cheated you out of your guy, and you don't show up in November. Now you don't vote at all. You simply can't have an electorate out there of people that don't trust the system. And trust is the big word. What about people who just don't like the system? If you don't like the system, that's bad too. It's not as bad as not trusting, but not liking is bad enough. And that's where I'm coming from on these deadlines. That's not as much a trust issue as you don't like the system. Great, you have the opportunity to vote early. Early is the key. They should just start calling this late voting, because they just allow it for days to come in. You can't do that. If you're going to have a live election day and polls close at 7 o'clock, you cannot accept any vote for any candidate after 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. This is such simple stuff. What are these politicians doing? The politicians can't like it. They should be on board with this. The people would be on board with this. This is a slam dunk for both, well, not both parties. Republicans will have to pass this. The Democrats love leaving the election open. We know they love leaving it open. They love leaving it open. But I just think this is absolutely absurd. We don't know what's going to happen in Pennsylvania, and the credibility of the elections is what's at stake here, and it really, truly, totally stinks. Okay, if you're thinking about investing in your home, Cross Kitchens KC is the way to go. They can do complete remodels. They can do bathrooms, any room. But man, are they great at kitchens. There is nothing that adds value to your home more than remodeling your kitchen. It is also great for your quality of life. You can create more space in your kitchen. You can create a more beautiful look. There are all kinds of things you can do in the center of your home, and make no mistake about it, the kitchen is the center of your home. There are all kinds of things that you can do to make your home more enjoyable, more livable, more presentable when people come over, and more valuable to prospective buyers down the road. That's why Cross Kitchens KC is such a valuable company to know when it comes time for you to add new countertops, redo your cabinets, or do a complete makeover of your kitchen. Cross Kitchens KC is the way to go. Tim Cross is a great, small, locally owned company of craftsmen that do the work typically in 2 weeks or less. They don't have you with a disjointed life for 3 months waiting on everything to happen. They can redo your kitchen in a short period of time. When they go, it's go time. They come in, they do it day after day after day for 2 weeks, and then it's beautiful and it's done, and you go, wow, look at this. You're really going to like Tim. Trust me, you're going to like him, and you're going to trust him, and he's going to do it right on time for the price that he says. Cross Kitchens KC. There are plenty of remodel specialists in Kansas City that are bigger, where they're, you know, the owner's going to kick you down the ladder three or four notches. There'll be a project manager. There'll be this guy. There'll be that guy. You don't know who to talk to. You're maybe emailing a secretary. When you're with Cross Kitchens KC, you're dealing with Tim and his wife. It's a family business. They oversee every single project, and he cares. It matters to him. These folks live on a micro farm. They are great people. They are really wonderful Midwestern people. You're going to love doing business with them. They'll provide you with all the technology you need. Complete 3D rendering of your project. You'll see it long before you start it. Trust me, if you're even considering remodeling, sit down with Tim and see what he might be able to do for you. Actually, with you is the better way to describe it. CrossKitchensKC.com. 816-898-7048. We're so happy to have them on the podcast. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC and Excelsior Springs. It's truck month for GMC. 0% on Sierra. $750 allowance. It's all for you. The way to do it, design your own Sierra. Canyon, Acadia, all available right now through GMC. We are professional grade. And Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com. Doesn't matter where you live, you can get your car from Roberts Robinson. Anything Chevy, Buick, GMC, or even the new Hummer, you want to order a Hummer? Boom. robertsrobinson.com. Or call him up and ask for Tim. He's there every single day, and he would love to work with you on your new ride. Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics. I noticed a Royals player last night. I won't say who. I noticed a Royals player last night. Jeremy loves the Royals. He was at the game, I think. And he was texting me during the game, and I said, yeah, this player looks like he needs Invisalign. And you might want to get on it because, you know, he could maybe rep your company or something. And he's like, great idea. Thanks. I'm on it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens if a Royals player reps Invisalign. There's a Royals player that could use Dr. Jeremy and his services at Fry Orthodontics with Invisalign, and nobody would know. He wouldn't be playing with braces every night. He'd just be doing it with Invisalign, where you can get a beautiful smile for a lifetime. It's an important thing for your confidence. It can really help you in your career and advancement if you're a go-getter and you want your kids to be able to be the best they can possibly be, or grandchildren. Get them in this summer. It's the best time to get kids into Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. And for Father's Day coming up in June, it is $500 off for anyone, not just dads. $500 off your treatment if you mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. So do it. Our laugh of the week comes from Washington, D.C. The Disinformation Board and Ms. Jankowicz, was her name Jankowicz? This crazy lady that sang on Twitter and stuff, that they made the head of the Disinformation Board, which is just completely unconstitutional and wrong. The Disinformation Board lasted 3 weeks. She basically was going to resign or be fired, right? She got whacked. And then because she got whacked, because she was so controversial and incompetent and incapable of doing this, they have now disbanded this. This is a win. This is hysterical. The Disinformation Board says it's dissolving because of disinformation. Let me repeat this. because while it is simple, it is complicated. This is how they try to confuse you. The Disinformation Board, which their sole job is to stop disinformation, says it can't go forward because of disinformation about the board. So they were going to go fix everybody else's problem, but they can't fix their own with disinformation. Well, this is just a flat-out lie. And I don't like to say people are liars. I don't. I think it's overdone. I think the word loses its meaning. But for the Disinformation Board to say they're dissolving because of disinformation, that's a lie. The Disinformation Board is dissolving for one simple reason. A light was shown on what they're doing and what they are. And the American public overwhelmingly said, this can't stand. They poll tested it, and the Democrats realized it was a loser for them. Here's the problem we have. We'll spend time on this somewhere down the road. The problem we have is it's going to continue. It's just going to continue in the shadows. They're not going to stop trying to change information out there and attack conservatives or what they, you know, basically conservative speak is disinformation. That's what they believe. So now they're going to operate in the shadows instead of having a board. But still, that's better than actually having a board that's out there doing it. This is another win. We just keep winning. Tip of my cap to a couple of media outlets in the Kansas City area here that you should know about. So many of you tell me in person or email me or when we speak will say, I'm so happy and proud of what you're doing to be out of the closet and doing this in Kansas City or in the Midwest because it's important and we need more media outlets like this. So I like to tip my cap to those who are doing this. There is a website, it's a journalism website called The Sentinel. It's sentinelksmo.org. That's sentinelkansasmissouri.org. sentinelksmo.org. It is based in Kansas, but I looked at their board of directors. It's some heavy hitters. It's some people that have been with Coke. It's people that have been in big corporations like Hallmark here in Kansas City. It is business people. There is money behind this thing. They are basically like a Freedom Watch type organization where they have money. They raise money. It's .org, so it's a charitable organization or whatever they want to be, a 501c3 something. And they like to find things and make them public. Their money is behind information, behind, hey, there's a problem. Regular media won't cover this. We'll do it and get it out there so people know it's happening. It's a very interesting site. If you want to go to sentinelksmo.org, go there and click on who we are, board members, whatever, and read about the board members. And you'll see what is behind this. This is big time stuff. They are reporting that in Eudora, Kansas, that something really crazy has happened. There was a trip to Costa Rica within the school board, the high school. There was a trip. They were going to Costa Rica. And three girls were told to room in one room, two beds, four people per room, two beds. Three girls were told to room with a biological male that identifies as a female on a trip to Costa Rica. That means one of the three girls was going to have to sleep in the same bed as the biological male on a school-sponsored trip to Costa Rica. The girl went to the teacher on the trip and said, I'm not comfortable with this at all. The teacher's wife told the girl to deal with it and made her sleep in that bed or in that room. There was a complaint to school officials. The Sentinel, KSMO.org, reached out to the school district and said, hey, wait a second. What's going on here? This isn't right. This can't stand. This can't be. And the school official says, we can't comment on that because we can't comment on individual students. The Sentinel circled back and said, we're not asking about an individual student. We're asking about policy and if this occurred. And then the school district, Stu Mokel, the superintendent, said, no comment. They wouldn't comment. After this occurred, the school district has now put out, after the can't comment and no comment, they have now put out a new policy that says any school trips in the district have a new policy that room assignments will be given 48 hours before departure. So they will work it out before they leave. Well, that seems reasonable. What are we going to do in public schools if we have males and females and transgenders Are we going to take transgenders on school trips and give them their own room? What are we going to do? Are we going to ask for volunteers? Do you want to sleep with the transgender? I don't know what this is. I don't know. If we are going to say we're a society with all kinds of mixed sexes and sexual preferences, does it even make sense to have four of one gender in one room? Couldn't that also be the same if two of the girls are gay? Couldn't that be the same as boys and girls sharing a bed? Are we now going to have to start splitting things like this up where everybody gets their own room? Is that what we're going to have to do? I don't have the answer. I appreciate the Sentinel for this story. If you'd like to read more about it and learn more about the Sentinel, go to sentinelksmo.org. Another website that I talk about a lot here is Tony's Kansas City. And Tony's Kansas City is better than the Kansas City Star, and it should be part of what you read every single day. If you, well, if you live here, if Kansas City is your thing in any way, you should go to Tony's Kansas City every day. Just make it, you can check several times a day because he posts things all day long. I swear the guy works 24 hours a day. But if you want to make it part of your routine, just pick a time of day and go there. It can be the evening, it can be the morning, it doesn't really matter. Tony'sKansasCity.com. He's a great headline writer, and these stories are fun. This is a fun website. Some of it is sort of tongue-in-cheek. Some of it's very serious and prodding and poking. It is from a conservative bent. You may not agree with everything you see at Tony's Kansas City. He's clearly hipper and cooler than I am. When you go to the site, you'll see that, which we love. But this is a much better read than The Star or some other website. You want to know what's going on in Kansas City? Go to Tony'sKansasCity.com. And here's a headline. And this is what got me today. I love this one. This headline is just fantastic. Here's the headline. How much money should Kansas City waste on unwatchable lady soccer? Well done, Tony. I love that. Doesn't that make you want to read it? That's fantastic. That's stronger than me. I don't even say stuff like that anymore. You know I don't care for the women's soccer team. I don't dislike them. They can do whatever they want. They have the right to do whatever they want. But see, Tony's Kansas City's better than me. Tony's Kansas City writes that now the team wants $6 million from taxpayers. Oh, yeah, this is a grift. You have a sports team, it becomes a grift. You got your hand in somebody's pocket, you're a grifter. That's all you are. And now that's what this looks like, because they've presented it as this really rich family that owns this team, that has more money to burn than anybody. They're going to build a $60 million soccer stadium on the riverfront. Now it's an $80 million soccer stadium. Now they're saying it's a $120 million soccer stadium. Can you imagine spending $120 million on a soccer stadium on the river in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, for women to play soccer? Can you even fathom that? Where are the TV dollars going to be? They're not. There's really no meaningful TV dollars in MLS. Sporting Kansas City has been very successful, largely on the heels of a season ticket base that's been fanatic and goes to games. Nobody watches Sporting on TV. Their ratings are so low, they don't register. Nobody watches their games. You may see them in the background at a sports bar or something, but literally like such a small number of people sit down and watch Sporting Kansas City games. It's crazy. Well, take a 1/10 fraction of that for the ladies soccer team. I love the headline. Go read the story. How much money should Kansas City waste on unwatchable ladies soccer? God, I love you, Tony. I love you. Tony'sKansasCity.com. You should make that. You make this part of your day. You need to take 10 minutes out of your day and go to Tony's Kansas City and pick one or two stories that you want to read and enjoy them because it's fun. You'll like it. Some women will go there and think it's sexist. You may. He puts pictures of bikini girls up. It's a little bit like OutKick, but you're going to like it. Trust me, you're going to like it. You're also going to like advanced medical imaging when you need an MRI or a CT scan. This is outside the expensive, time-consuming hospital chains. When your doctor says it's time to get a CAT scan or an MRI, and we'll make an appointment on, what's today, May 19th? Well, we can get you in June 7th. Yeah, not good enough. Not good enough. That's why there's advanced medical imaging. The website is medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. Call Tricia to schedule your appointment. If your doctor is telling you to get the scan and you're waiting 2 weeks to go, cancel that appointment. Make this one. You can get in today, tomorrow at the latest, 785-856-0224. This is outside the hospital systems. They take your insurance. Your doctor can refer you there. You don't need a referral. Your insurance works there. Healthcare is a mess. Put it in your own hands. Get outside your big hospital chain. Get the best, biggest, most comfortable machines for MRIs available. They're quiet. They have natural lighting. This is a wonderful experience. MedImageKS.com. 360 Document Solutions, your business-to-business solution. Western Missouri or anywhere in Kansas, Mark Lindquist and his team will help you become more profitable and more efficient. It's really all business is, right? This is voiceover, IT solutions, mailing systems, outsourced ITs, copiers, printers, you name it, phone systems. If you would like a complimentary analysis, I promise you, Mark Lindquist will do one of two things. He'll either save you money and make you better, or he'll say you got a great thing going right here and he'll just walk away. But it doesn't hurt. These are great conservative people. You want to do business with people you know and trust? Log on to 360documentsolutions.com or call Mark at 913-745-5344. And Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental. My father-in-law went and saw Dr. Bush yesterday. He's been having difficulty with his own dentist. I said, go see Dr. Bill Bush. He's your new dentist. Got him right in. My father-in-law had an issue. Okay, this was not I just need to make an appointment for a checkup. He had a thing going on, and Dr. Bush got him right in. And he was very pleased with the treatment that he got. And they're going to get this thing all under control. NKCDental.com. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. He can help with sleep and breathing disorders or just your regular dental care, implants, cosmetic, all kinds of things. He helps me put a couple crowns in last week for me. He can help you with TMJ, does teeth whitening. He can put jewels in your teeth. He's done that for some football players. Dr. Bill Bush, NKCDental.com. MJ Melendez. How about MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt? They both homer for the Royals on Wednesday night. The Royals have now won 3 out of 5. Doesn't seem like they've played well enough to win 3 out of 5, does it? I constantly have these discussions with my mom. We see baseball differently. She listens to Rex say over and over and over, just keep the line moving. Just get a single, get a walk. Look, there are times when you're down 0-2 in the count, let the pitch hit you. I'm with you on that. Yes, you need base runners. You need guys on base. But you don't need a lineup full of guys that are punching Judy hitters that just get on base. They can get hit by a pitch, draw a walk, lay down a bunt, get a little flare single. You don't need a team full of Nicky Lopez's. In fact, if you have one, it could be too many in today's baseball. What you need to do today is hit home runs. That's why the Royals accept the fact that they strike out so much and they don't walk enough because the game is played with home runs. The Royals don't hit very many. Wednesday night's game was a classic example. Royals won by Royals fashion easily, 6-2. It was a close game most of the night. It was a well-pitched game. What did the Royals do? They got a home run from Bobby Witt. They got a home run from MJ Melendez. I think that did that count for 3 or 4 of the runs? That's the difference in the ballgame. That's it. You hit 2 home runs in a game, you got a great chance to win. The Royals did it. Now, did they anticipate MJ Melendez playing like this? No. Salvador Perez is hurt. He's got the thumb strain. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with all of this. If they want Melendez to catch as much, if not more than Salvi, the future is now. They're not winning this year. Let's get the players up here and let's play them. Let's go. It's go time. And I don't believe in rushing to the big leagues. Has Brady Singer been up and down the last 3 years? Yeah. Did he pitch great in his last outing? Yes. If he's going to be great, he's going to be great. And I think, I do believe that you get better faster by being here than by being in Omaha. That's just me. I'm not a baseball general manager. Man, there is a lot of noise in this town about blowing up this front office. And I'm really, really, really at this point on board with that. I think it's time if new ownership, new change, whatever. I believe that. Take the pieces they have, figure it out. Let's figure a different direction. I'm cool with all of that. I'm down with that. That's good. Let's go with that. But I'm really frightened that when you watch Melendez play now, Bobby Witt is, I think the second half of the season, he's just going to be a terrific player. I think as soon as he starts laying off the breaking ball out of the strike zone down and away, because he's striking out a lot on that pitch, look out. Because you see it. It's there. The guy can play. MJ Melendez looks like he can just flat ball, that he can just play. So we've got them. Singer looked terrific. Daniel Lynch is moving. I'm a little worried the second half of the year that these young guys are going to be so good, the Royals are going to win a bunch of games, and ownership's going to say, no change is necessary. Look what we got going here. Maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. The appetite of Kansas City right now is change, and I mean real change, within the organization. Speaking of real change, there's real change in college athletics. Nick Saban is the most famous coach in all of college athletics. He's the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. They're the best football team you've ever seen. They finished number two in the nation in recruiting last year behind Texas A&M. Nick Saban was on a stage with three other people at a speaking event, the World Games or something, and it's a Q&A, and he's speaking, he's being asked questions and all these things. And they get into name, image, and likeness in college athletics, which is players getting paid to do ads, basically, which is fine in and of itself, but that's not how it's working out. There are unregulated collectives. The NCAA has no chance to enforce any of this stuff or regulate any of this. We're watching players like we saw Nigel Pack get $900,000, $800 cash, and a $100,000 car to go to the University of Miami and play basketball as a transfer. Well, we know what the incentive was. They offered him the deal before he signed. We know what happened with Nigel Pack. You don't have to be stupid. You can be stupid and still understand this. What's going on? Nick Saban said it out loud in front of the world on Wednesday. He said, we finished number two in recruiting last year. A&M was number one, and they bought every player. He said it. He said, we bought zero. What we told our players is we doled out three. Nick Saban's just laying his numbers out there. He said, we had players that were already here make $3 million combined that were on our football team. He said only 25 players received name, image, and likeness dollars. So those are the 25 best players on Alabama's team. Those 25 players made combined $3 million. That's pretty good. Pretty good sum of money for 25 guys. $3 million. 25 players. He said, we didn't pay one or entice one in recruiting with any money. A&M did it with every single one of their recruits. The NCAA won't do anything about it. There are no regulations in place. Nobody's watching this. It's a disaster. They're going to ruin college athletics. That's Nick Saban. And he's the guy sitting in the catbird seat. Now, of course, it's a threat to him because the system in place has worked so well for him. But make no mistake about it, we can't have this in college athletics. There are now estimates it's going to take at least 2 years to clean this up and figure out what we're going to do going forward. I think it's probably headed to an athletes union, and I'd be okay with that. If there's an athletes union, there's then a pay scale. So what are we going to do in football? We're going to pay every football player $2,000 a month, $25,000 a year, something like that. We're going to have a pay scale. You make $1,500 a month your freshman year, $2,500 a month your sophomore year. As long as you stay at that school, your pay goes up. If you transfer to another school, your pay goes down. Now, there's an idea. How about that? Stop all this transfer madness. Your pay resets as a first-year player if you transfer to another school. This should be collectively bargained at this point. And they should just have donors put money in a fund and say this is for player pay. You don't have to do the commercials. You can ask them to, whatever. That's not what this is for. But it is against the rules to pay somebody to come to your school. Once you're there, we have a pay scale. I don't care if you set it up by conference. If the SEC says we pay more than the Big 12, great, go do it. Fine. Whatever you got to do. But it has to somehow, there has to be a system in place, and there is no system right now. Nick Saban is pointing out that out louder than anyone else out there, and we appreciate that. Buck Roofing and Construction is the Midwest's finest roofer. He will drive a couple hours from Kansas City and do your project, residential and commercial. I told you he did Dr. Jeremy Fry's, one of his buildings in, I think, Lee Summit. I don't remember where it was. Raytown, one of the Fry Orthodontics. Buck Roofing did that job. He did the roof at Ron did the roof at the Midland Theater downtown. He can do big, giant commercial projects or the smallest of little houses like my mom's old house was. Doesn't matter. It's Buck Roofing. Online at rbuckroofing.com. 913-384-2680. Of course, he'll do a free roof inspection for you if you mention the podcast. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Finch Knife Company. Online at finchknifeco.com. Dealers, anybody out there, retailers, want to stock these knives? They'd love to be in your store. If you have a store anywhere, doesn't matter. Kansas City doesn't matter. If you're listening in Phoenix right now, I got an email from an old friend yesterday who lives in Los Angeles, Irvine, California. And it was great catching up with him. Maybe you live out there. If you have a store, if you have a retail location, you'd like to sell these knives, get a hold of me or get a hold of Steve and Spencer at Finch Knife Co. You can reach them through their website, finchknifeco.com. Or you can always reach me via email, kevin@kkhasissues.com. Beautiful knives, now featuring the 1934 series, which is an homage to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. You're going to love these series of knives, 1934, at finchknifeco.com. And, of course, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, are online at joslynsjewelry.com. Gary's awesome. Dave is there. Cameron's there every day. Go in and mention. Many of you went there for Mother's Day. And you know what? Nobody's emailed me and said, what was the Mother's Day special? If you went there and bought something, send me an email. Tell me what that was. I haven't talked to Gary, and I don't know. They had some sort of secret gift or secret savings for Mother's Day. What was that? Somebody let me know what that was. Or I'll just call Gary and find out, I guess. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jewelry you recommend to your friends and family. And we close with some NFL news. The Kansas City Chiefs are not the favorite in the AFC West to be the one seed this year. Not even close. The Buffalo Bills are the favorite. Now, that's because they do over-unders in Vegas, and Caesars Sportsbook has put their over-unders out. The favorites in the AFC and NFC are Buffalo and Tampa Bay. Buffalo is their season win total. You can walk to the window and make a bet. Will Buffalo win more than 11.5 games or fewer than 11.5 games? So Buffalo's 11.5. Kansas City is 10.5. All right. Well, that doesn't mean Buffalo's better. That means Buffalo has an easier schedule. That means Buffalo's not in the AFC West. The shocking news here is, I'll give you these totals. The Bills and the Bucks are both 11.5. The Packers in the NFC are 11. Then Kansas City is 10.5 in the AFC, along with Dallas and the Rams. So four of the top six teams in over-under are in the NFC. That's telling you that Vegas believes the NFC is easier. That's all that's telling you. I don't think they're making any decision on what the best team is here. Here's the crazy part. Next up, after the Chiefs, Dallas, and Rams at 10.5, the next two favorites. Are you ready for this? Chargers and Broncos at 10. So in the AFC West, you have the Chiefs at 10.5, the Chargers at 10, the Broncos at 10, and the Raiders at 8.5. Now, not every team can have a winning record. Somebody in this division is going to have a losing record because they're going to lose more of their games in the division than they win. It's mathematically possible that everybody has a winning record, but it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. This is unbelievable. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Three of the top eight teams are in the AFC West, according to Vegas. Wow. And think of how devalued their numbers are. If the Chiefs are 10.5, the Chargers are 10, and the Broncos are 10, what would their numbers be if they were in the AFC East like the Bills? The Chiefs would definitely be 11.5. The Chargers and Broncos would probably both be 10.5. Maybe 11. Wow. There's never, ever been anything on paper. We don't know how it plays out. Quarterbacks can get injured. Things can happen in a season. Right now, leading into the season, there has never, ever, ever been a division on paper before the season like the AFC West. This is going to be a wild football season now. Woo! I'm excited. That's months away. I never want to wish the summer away because I like the swimming pool. I like the golf course. I like the outdoors. I like all that. Might even take a little vacation this summer. I don't know. We seem to be here every day, don't we? Maybe it's time after a year and a half to take a little vacation. We'll see. I don't know. So, you know, to me, being at home in the summer is vacation. All the things I like to do are right here. I would rather take a vacation in the winter. Go somewhere where it's warm, where I could sit at a beach and play some golf, which I can't really do here a lot in the winter. KKHI is what we call this thing. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. The website is kkhasissues.com. Please share it with your friends. Hit the like or follow button. If you'd like to become a patron, we would welcome you aboard. Just go to kkhasissues.com to get signed up. It's easy. It's $5 a month. You'll get 3 podcasts a week and the newsletter each and every week. And if you would like some Kevin Keatsman Has Issues swag, t-shirts, sweatshirts, ball caps, any of that stuff. HeroesAmongUsKC.org receives everything we get, everything we make from any product. Go to MiserSports.com, M-I-S-E-R-S, MiserSports.com. Daryl Miser produces all of this. And check it out there or give him a call and order it up. Get yourself some T-shirts to cut the grass in. Go to the pool. Trucker's caps are available. All kinds of cool stuff there that says Kevin Keatsman has issues on it. And when you and the prices are low. When you purchase this, the proceeds go to, and some of you have done this and said, I want to give extra to HeroesAmongUsKC.org. That is just fine. Go to MisersSports.com. Learn how to reach Daryl Miser and order your Kevin Keatsman has issues swag today. Most of all, thank you for listening to Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman has issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.